Neil Henry Show, brought to you by Gummo. One bottle helps clean out harmful deposits and can restore your car's lost performance. That's good, clean driving.
And now, the Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Justin, tell me about Youth for Truth. And I know this is a new organization.
Yes, sir.
What do you guys want? Just start at the beginning. Youth for Truth is asking parents to do what?
Most of our kids today graduated from the DARE program, which stands for Drug Abuse Resistance Education.
Right. My kids did that in grade school.
Yeah. We're asking our parents, a lot of people of like your generation, and not to play the music they grew up with.
And why? You're asking your parents, my generation, baby boomer parents, etc. In other words, your parents, not to play baby boomer music. Why?
Because we've been told by the DARE program and by a lot of modern musicians who are, you know, don't use drugs, and our parents are playing their generation's music in our homes, like in their car when they're driving us somewhere or at parties that we go to. They're basically saying, forget about what you're being taught about drugs, because these musicians, we like, use drugs, and we admire them.
Give me an example. So Youth for Truth doesn't want the older baby boomer music played in the home?
Our on-campus group is trying to hold adults to a truthful standard, and we're trying to turn them away from their traditional way of communicating with us, which is to lie to us, because most adults are liars about the drug situation.
All right, well, you say your parents and your teachers and other adults are lying?
Yes, sir.
What about your teachers? And what are they lying about? Because they say don't use drugs and yet they like older music?
Some of our teachers are you know, really cool. Like our Journalism 2 teacher is Mr. Bouchard, who's really cool to talk to, but most of our teachers are like a lot of our parents. They're liars, and all we're trying to do is get the truth.
All right, but you say there is lying, and you're saying that because they tell you not to use drugs or have premarital sex, and yet all of the bands that your parents and others listen to use drugs, correct?
Yeah, one of the bands that Youth for Truth has targeted is a band that is the Beatles, and my parents, a lot of other parents like them, and yet the Beatles used drugs and had sex with a lot of different people, and our parents, like my father, he's basically a liar, like a lot of kids' parents are, because he's a...
Can I interrupt you for a minute, Justin?
Yes, sir.
Calling somebody a liar is a heck of a thing. Because your parents like the Beatles or the Rolling Stones, that makes them liars because they're listening to bands that were influenced by drugs?
Yeah, because we were told by the DARE program that we took in school not to use drugs, and yet my father and my mother, a lot of times my mom has her friends over who are... like her, you know, I guess they think they're good looking or whatever, and they start dancing to, like, you know, the Rolling Stones or whatever, and those guys took a lot of drugs. Also, my teacher, Mrs. Purcell, also brought two...
Is this the Mrs. Purcell who teaches, I believe it's English?
Yes, sir.
And what did she do?
She brought in two groups for us to listen to, or two record albums to listen to. One was Joni Mitchell, who was, like, basically a skank and, you know, like took drugs and everything, and also another...
When you say Ms. Mitchell was a skank, son, what are you talking about?
Well, I mean, she, you know, she took drugs. She, like, had sex with everyone. And another group was Leonard Skinner, who were alcoholics and also crashed their plane after using heroin. So, and...
Leonard Skinner was flying their airplane after using heroin?
My understanding was, yeah, they took heroin and then they flew their plane, they crashed it, and... my teacher's playing this music, so that's when I went to our administration building and talked to our assistant principal.
All right, Justin, hold on, because you're making some challenging points here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. A lot of kids are graduates of the DARE program, which is Drug Abuse Resistance Education, and it's obviously an effort to get kids to stay away from drugs. a lot of premarital sex programs, etc. And yet, the baby boomer parents, and are they all baby boomers?
Well, there's my friend, a couple of my friends whose parents are a little bit younger, like Mike. I have a friend of mine whose parents, Matthew Hindehay, his dad and mom are like 38 or 39, and they listen to Blue Oyster Cult, but that's also a group that is, they were on drugs, and they, like, practiced satanic sex practices and everything with animals or animal sacrifice. And so even those parents, you know, they're liars too. So all Youth for Truth is trying to do is get parents not to lie anymore and start telling the truth and quit playing music of bands that are, you know, like, whores, you know, like a skank, like Joni Mitchell or what have you.
Let me ask you something, son. Don't modern bands use drugs as well? I mean,
well, not really. I mean,
well, I mean, we heard about Stone Temple Pilots, Scott Weiland.
No, I mean, well, Stone Temple Pilots and Linkin Park, they use ecstasy, but that's not the same as heroin or LSD. And our DARE program told us to stay away from, you know, LSD, heroin, and that. And yet the adults are constantly trying to get us to use drugs. And
so by your teacher bringing Lynyrd Skynyrd and Joni Mitchell records into the classroom, she was trying to get you to use drugs.
Well, yeah, she teaches our English composition class, and she brings in this skank.
You keep referring to Joni Mitchell as a skank.
Well, if you saw her, she looks a lot like a lot of my mom's friends. You know, she thinks she's all sexy and everything, but she's skanky looking, and she thinks she's all, you know, all that. And we took the DARE course, and they teach us not to be around skanks and, you know, heroin and everything.
All right, Justin, now this is a teacher that had you go to the principal because you challenged her in the class, right? When she played Lynyrd Skynyrd and she played Joni Mitchell and she played a Beatles record?
Yes, sir. She sent me to the administration building, and I explained to Mr. McCarthy, who's our assistant principal, that I was in Youth for Truth, and that Mrs. Purcell was a liar because she brought in music by, you know, a woman like Joni Mitchell who had sex with all, like, teenagers and stuff and used drugs and had sex with people that wasn't her husband. And they told me...
All right, now, Justin, let me interrupt you. It was recommended... She recommended that you be suspended. Did you threaten Mr. McCarthy, who is the assistant principal? Now, I understand. I'm just getting the story secondhand. Did she want you suspended for saying this in class?
Well, no, what happened, I told the assistant principal that Ms. Purcell was a liar because she said don't take drugs, but she's making us listen to Lynyrd Skynyrd, who they all sing about having fun after they have sex with, you know, everybody and take drugs. And so he said it was a discipline issue and he might have to call my dad. And I told him that I represented a group called Youth for Truth and that I don't think it'd be, you know, it would look good in the newspaper to read that I got suspended for saying I didn't want to hear some degenerate baby boomer music.
So you threatened this guy by saying you're going to go to a newspaper? And did he back off the suspension?
Well, yeah. I mean, we told him that Youth for Truth, and we had completed our DARE course, and that we were tired of being forced to listen to drug music. And also, plus, I told him that Mrs. Purcell had come into class wearing clothing that showed her underwear, and it was probably child abuse, too, and that's when he sent me back to class.
So you not only said that Mrs. Purcell is making you listen to the Beatles and Joni Mitchell, which are drug-taking groups, but that she showed her underwear?
Yeah. And that was a child abuse issue.
And then he sent you back to class. Well, this woman, Mrs. Sarah Purcell, told investigators she brought the music in to illustrate examples of writing, lyric writing.
Well, yeah, but she's a liar because the music she was playing, like Jimi Hendrix's group, about he swallowed his own vomit and everything when he died, after he took heroin. And so she's a liar, and then I told him also that my father's a liar too, because he says don't take drugs, but my father listens to the Rolling Stones.
All right, well, she also said the underwear you saw was simply a bra strap that fell down a short sleeve blouse.
Well, I know what she said, but she's like a liar because our youth minister at our church agreed that Joni Mitchell and Lynyrd Skynyrd are drug bands, and that Joni Mitchell's a, you know, like a whore. And we just
Jesus, I'm calling Joni Mitchell a whore. You know,
well, you like her because, I mean, that's your generation, okay? But we're the new generation. We don't use drugs, and we don't want to listen to your drug bans. And so we're asking adults to quit being liars, and, you know, the least they can do if they're going to molest us is to not make us listen to.
I mean, kid, what you're saying is really challenging here. If you're not going, if you're going to molest us,
well, if they're going to molest us sexually, at least don't make us listen to their drug music. You know, that's all we're trying to say. And plus, my mom's friends who are think they're hot and they're ugly are always dancing to this music.
All right, hold on, Justin. 1-800-449-8686. Well, you heard the young man. If the adults of today are going to molest us, the least they can do is not make us listen to their drug band music. And apparently, because a lot of kids today graduate from drug resistance programs, they think adults that make them listen to this drug music, i.e. Blue Oyster Cult, Beatles, Rolling Stones, are liars and are influencing kids to take drugs. 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Henry Show. He has repeatedly called his teachers liars, his father's a liar, and if they're going to molest us, don't make us listen to their baby boomer drug music. 1-800-449-8686. His name is Justin McElroy from Youth for Truth. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Building sandcastles in your mind. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Justin McElroy is with us. Justin is with a youth group called Youth for Truth. You have a list of groups that you say influence you to take drugs or other kids that your parents listen to?
Let me
ask you before I get that. I got some people who want to talk to you on the phone, okay? What are you...
Can I ask you a question, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
Are there any teenagers that are calling in?
Yes, sir. We've got a couple.
Because I want to talk to like other kids about this, but I don't want to talk to too many adults because they really are like liars and they'll lie. You know, they'll say that it's their fault.
Well, they have an opportunity to defend themselves, don't they? I mean, parents love their kids. I love my kids, and I listen to this music.
Well, that's like not honest of you because, I mean, I came home. Last week, my mom and her friends were sitting in the kitchen. They're listening to an artist that I looked up on the internet named Carly Simon. And I told my mother and her friends if they wanted to, do drugs and have sex with like a bunch of pigs like Carly Simon did, to take their filth to a bar. I mean, don't do it in the house. And, my mom got pissed, but she doesn't have any philosophical leg to stand.
Did you tell your mother to take her filth to a bar?
Well, yeah, she's listening to some slut that...
Carly Simon's a slut? Carly Simon's a mother. And
no, before she got married to the man she married, they put in an insane asylum, and she started to have sex with, her roadies and stuff, which I read in a magazine.
The man that you say they put in an insane asylum was James Taylor. I don't think they put him in an insane asylum. All right, look.
Well, Mr. Renner, I mean, I've done a lot of research on this, and so you don't know really what you're talking about. I mean, I don't want to disrespect you, but... You're just a baby boomer, and you're really kind of liars.
All right, look, 1-800-449-8686. Hi, Riley, you're on with Justin. Go ahead. Riley?
Yes, hey.
Riley, how old are you, man?
I'm 14.
Justin, how old are you?
I just turned 16.
Go ahead.
All right, hey. I'm a musician, and I love Lynyrd Skynyrd. He's got great guitar.
Yeah, but... you love them because your parents told you it was good, but they're liars, man. They tell you don't do drugs.
Yeah, they tell you not to do drugs.
Yeah?
They tell you not to do drugs, but if I go out and listen to Lynyrd Skynyrd, I'm not going to go out and smoke pot.
Well, yeah, you don't think you will, but the more you, listen to them and everything, they're like alcoholics. They crashed their plane because they were high on PCP or something.
Yeah, but who cares? I'm not looking for their... the background of their band. I just want to listen to their music. They got great music.
Well, they would have made more music that I guess was good. I don't know. It sounds like hillbilly music to me.
Yeah, well, if you know how to play the guitar, you know it was good.
What? Well, okay. So you learn how to, what if you learn how to play as good as them, and then you get on a plane, you get famous or something, you're doing heroin because you love them so much? And you crash your plane into a school.
That's just the way you were raised.
What if you crash your plane into a school or something?
Yeah, but that's the way you were raised.
Wait a minute, man. You're afraid that Riley here will learn to love Lynyrd Skynyrd so much that he'll play guitar good and do heroin and crash his private plane into a school?
Well, I mean,
man, he's a role model for me. Definitely.
Oh, dude, you're brainwashed by your parents, man.
I'm brainwashed.
Yeah, by your parents, man. I mean,
it's the way a person is raised.
I got a list of groups. The Rolling Stones, the Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, The Who, Crosby, Nash & Young.
Really, my parents don't even listen to Lynyrd Skynyrd. I've been playing guitar for about 5 years.
Well, all of them are drug users, and also my friends in Truth For Youth bought in a CD of a band called Deep Purple to study it for evidence, and my friend Ashley ended up running away from home after he listened to it, so...
I cook there, too.
Is your mom a slut or anything? Because...
That's a heck of a thing to ask a guy. What do you mean, is your mom a slut?
Well,
no, my mom's. We actually live in Brooks, so you know we listen to a lot of country.
She's not a slut or anything.
No, right,
okay.
She's not a slut.
Hey, Riley, good man, and congratulations on your musical achievements. Okay.
All right, thanks.
Dude, you're in trouble, man. Don't be brainwashed. Don't be your parent. Don't be Lynyrd Skynyrd's dog.
Okay, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Amanda, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I have quite a few points I'd like to make, and one is...
Are you a teenager?
I am 21 years old.
Okay. I really wanted to talk to other kids because...
Well, you can listen to what I have to say, too.
Yeah, but, you're just going to lie. You're just going to lie.
Why don't you be open-minded and act like the Christian you're supposed to be and listen to what people have to say without judging them?
I didn't say I was a Christian. I said I don't do drugs, you know, okay?
Oh, there's nothing wrong
with
that.
Most of the Christian kids I do ecstasy.
Why don't you listen to what I have to say before you start yelling at me, okay?
Are you going to lie about it?
Let her talk, man.
I'm not going to lie. My point is that these bands do not tell us, go do drugs, okay? And you keep throwing Lynyrd Skynyrd out there.
Yeah.
If you look at all the existing band members right now, they are all stone cold sober. None of them do drugs anymore.
They don't drink. They do not tell us
to go around and do drugs. They just like to play the music that they feel inside of them.
Okay, but they
suck.
But Amanda, Lynyrd Skynyrd sucks.
You think that their music sucks.
They were good when they were drinking.
What bands do you listen to now?
What's the point you're trying to make here, Justin, though?
I'm trying to tell her that Lynyrd Skynyrd was good when they drank and used heroin, and now that they don't use drugs, their music
they
sucks.
They are stone cold sober now.
Yeah, and their
and
music
they
sucks.
Still rock the house when they play. I've been to their concerts.
Whatever.
Like, and they rock the house.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, it's your
Let's
opinion
go to some
that
Viagra
sucks.
And party.
What bands do you listen to now?
Well, what do you do, smoke V?
The bands that are playing these days were influenced by the original classic rock band.
Hey. Bob Seger makes my mother...
And those bands playing now do drugs, too.
You know,
so what's your point, buddy?
I mean, my point is, I feel sorry for you. What, does your boyfriend have to smoke V before he can have sex with you? I mean, my God. Bob Seger makes my mother want to have sex with my uncle. I mean, that's what you're into. You're 21 and you're into that music.
The music does not turn me on, honey. The music makes me happy.
Hey, whatever, you know.
It makes me
sad
feel good.
You. I'm sad for you.
Well, I'm sad for you that you're so close-minded that you can't enjoy...
Hey, Justin.
And you have to look down on everybody else on this planet because they listen to music.
Well, listen, I'm not down on music. Just don't tell me not to do drugs and then have me listen to Lynyrd Skynyrd, who had sex with animals and want to fly their planes into schools.
Lynyrd Skynyrd had sex with animals?
They weren't flying the plane. It wasn't their fault the plane crashed. They do not have sex with animals.
My friend was driving, too.
And still rock the house.
Hey, Amanda, I hope you get some cream for that gonorrhea you're going to get from listening to The Journey.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, because she's not listening to me.
You're not making a relevant point, buddy.
Amanda, thank you.
You're very welcome.
1-800-449-8686. This young man, Justin McElroy, Youth for Truth. Why do our parents make us listen to their drug-influenced bands if they say don't do drugs? Kid's got a good point, but I don't think you get gonorrhea from listening to Journey. Or maybe you do. Right, Mark? Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Justin McElroy with me. He's a 16-year-old student with a group called Youth for Truth. All these groups you mentioned, did all of their music under the influence of drugs?
Yes, sir. The Beatles, it's well known that the Beatles never, they were always on drugs. And we're demanding that adults stop playing their music around us. I mean, it's just as simple as that. We don't want them to play music that, once they tell us don't use drugs, and then they say, hey, yeah, listen to this Beatle music, which they were stoned all the time. They had gonorrhea. Also, a friend of mine's dad was listening to Blue Oyster Cult, and I told him to turn it off. And he did, because...
Now, tell me the story. Why did this man turn the music off, though?
Because Blue Oyster Cult is, like, all about gonorrhea and having, you know, drugs. And
but you also said to the man that if you don't turn the music off, you're a man alone with two minors. It could be sexual abuse?
Well, yeah. I mean, I said you're not supposed to be alone with two minors. And I'm not even your son. And the police would think it's sexual abuse.
So this man got up and turned his music off.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what we're trying to tell kids, you know, do what you can. Don't listen to adults because they're lying. And, man, if it was legal to, like, beat up your dad, I would have probably beaten my father pretty bad by now because he's a liar, and he also listens to Pink Floyd.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is some pretty strong stuff you're saying here, that Led Zeppelin, The Who, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, not Crosby, Nash & Young, and it's Led Zeppelin, not the Led Zeppelin.
Well, I mean, factually, you know, I don't care what they're called. You know, as far as I'm concerned, they could be called the Dog Turd Band, you know, as far as I'm concerned. Like Leonard Dog Turd, because I hate them. I hate them a lot. And I have...
Well, all right, here's the example of music you wanted me to play. This is Leonard Skinner.
Yeah, I mean, this is all...
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. This is all written by alcoholics, and my mother hears this song... And I, every time my mom hears the song, she and her friends start dancing, and they think they're hot-looking, but my mom and a lot of her friends dress like sluts, and when my dad's not in town, you know, a lot of times they go to bars just to act like sluts.
So your mother, this has turned your mother into a slut, and will make you use drugs.
Well, I mean, all I'm saying is that's what they do, and also they flew their plane into a...
Well, I got a caller on the line who wants to dispute that. Hold on. Is it Carrie? Go ahead, Carrie. You're on the Phil Henry Show with... Justin McElroy.
Hey, Justin, I've got a couple questions for you, along with some comments. I mean, I think you're taking this a little bit too far. I don't know what your background is, but you're taking things
are
way
you,
too
are
far.
Are you a kid? Are you a kid? Or
I'm 24 years old, so we're
well,
in the same.
So what's I got to? I mean,
we're
yeah,
in the same. Hey, Justin, we're in the same generation.
I know, but you get to listen
to the same stuff.
You get to listen to what you want to listen to. I got to listen to my dad's like Rolling Stones records.
Hey,
what am I supposed to do?
What do you do? You don't listen to it if you don't want to. You go to your room and listen whatever you want to. Hey, I thought you said you went to a church and you were in a youth group. And
yeah,
then you said you weren't a Christian.
Well, I go to church. Yeah, our minister talked to us about it. But I'm not really a Christian, no. I just... The minister
you talked to minister. Okay,
well, so what, you're just using the minister to help you?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Okay, well, Justin,
do you have a mother that hears this song? My mom hears this and she wants to, like, pull her... She's got these tights that she wants to pull them off in a biker bar.
How do you know what she wants to do?
Because
she can't eat her doesn't mean she wants to get naked. She just might dance. Do you not like to dance, Justin? Sometimes you hear music you like?
Hey, man, yeah. You know, I listen to, you know, I'll dance to Prodigy. You know, I'll dance to Offspring. Okay?
Justin, have you listened to some of the lyrics in those bands?
Hey, they're not taking...
The lyrics in the music...
Okay, yeah.
You know what?
What you know?
You don't need to worry about the music from the 70s. You need to worry about the music today.
Hey, check it out. They're not using drugs, okay?
Don't use drugs?
No, not they're not using LSD or heroin. They use ecstasy, which is not the same.
You gotta be kidding.
You really, I mean, that's why I don't want to talk to you, because you're too old.
Because I'm too old?
Yeah, I mean, my mom and her friends...
No, Justin, I'm old enough to realize that I don't know everything, and you still obviously think you do. Hey, Justin,
hey, man,
your parents aren't lying to you.
The next
your parents
time,
are trying to help you.
Hey, oh, they're trying to help me? My mom and her friends sit around and drink wine and listen to this and that and everything. And the next thing you know, I've got a black baby brother. And what are you going to tell me then? That my baby brother's colored? And that,
wait a second. Your mother's going to have sex with a black guy listening to this music?
All I'm saying is it's hypocritical and they're liars to say don't do drugs. And
hey,
then
Justin,
alcoholic.
Have you ever lied, Justin? Are you perfect? Yeah, but your parents aren't perfect either.
Yeah, because
they've made their mistakes.
Yeah, because
you don't have the right to judge them for the mistakes they've made.
Yeah, but guess what? If I lie, I get punished. If they lie, you know, all that happens is they get the clap or something, And my mom goes to the doctor that she knows, the guy that gives her, you know, tetracycline for free.
That doesn't matter. It's not your right to judge your parents. If you read the Bible, if you talk to your minister,
yeah,
you'll honor your mother and father.
Justin, you got up in your youth group and said that Lynyrd Skynyrd made your mother a lying whore. Now, you said that in front of a church group?
Yeah, and our minister said, our minister got up and went, yeah, you know, he pumped his fist in the air because it's true. We're not going to allow to happen to our generation what my parents' generation happened to them, that they're all liars and whores because they listened to Jimi Hendrix. And he choked on vomit after he started, you know,
instead of worrying about
batter.
Hey, Justin, instead of worrying about the music from the 70s, what your parents listened to, worry about the music you listen to.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's a cop-out.
Let's talk about Nelly.
Nice,
let's talk about Janet Jackson.
Yeah, nice cop-out.
Let's talk about some of these bands. Nine Inch Nails.
Hey, dude, I don't listen to Janet Jackson, okay? I'm like a guy. Jesus.
Okay.
All right, okay. Look, Harry, I got to take a break, but I appreciate your call. 1-800-449. What do you mean I'm a guy?
I'm sorry?
What do you mean I don't listen to Janet Jackson? I'm a guy.
Because, like, the only people that listen to Janet Jackson are, like, chicks and fags. I mean,
and I don't like the word fag. You're going to grow up to become a homophobic even though you don't use drugs?
No, I'm not homophobic.
I don't use the word fag, okay?
Well, but those are the only ones that listen to Janet Jackson.
All right, anyway.
I mean, that guy's talking to, hey, man, what about Janet Jackson? Yeah, right, man. I'm going to go home and I'll slap on my latest Janet Jackson CD. God, do I look like I, you know, is there a sign in front of my house that said, kill smoked here? God damn.
I would ask you to watch your language, son. 1-800-449-8686. Justin McElroy, our parents are making us listen to their baby boomer bands. They're all a bunch of drug bands. Why would they ask us not to use drugs and listen to the Grateful Dead? Jonah, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
What's up?
Did I just hear you use the Lord's name in vain twice?
Are you talking to me, the host, or are you talking to the...
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was talking to our caller here.
Okay, spit it out, Jonah. What's your point? Spit it out, man. Let's
guys,
go.
Guys gone over the deep end, you know. There's
okay, are you
know,
talking to him, or are you having a conversation, or are you making a speech?
You know, I can take it from here, Mr. Henry. What's your name, Jonah?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so what's your problem?
Well, my problem is that, I'm a Christian, and I have to say I'm deeply offended by some of the moral standpoints that this guy's coming from. There's a measure of hypocrisy to,
what are you talking about? I mean, are you trying to tell me, why don't you and your friends, you know, do you listen to me? I mean, Mr. Henry and his friends, they sit around and listen to Laura Nero records and have sex with other men.
Who has sex with other men?
Guys like in Mr. Henry's generation.
Really?
What are you talking about, man?
You're smoking crack,
hey,
guy.
Hey, dude.
You're
what
smoking
are you
crack.
Hey, dude, what are you
mean
to
tell me
hey, dude,
that
what are you
ecstasy is not a drug? You mean to tell? I got an Offspring record in my cabinet right now. You're gonna tell me that Offspring doesn't smoke dope?
Hey,
that they don't do drugs?
Yeah.
You
yeah,
never listen
yeah,
to Offspring.
Hey, man, it doesn't matter.
You're freaking blind,
hey,
man.
Hey, dude, wait a
and
second.
You tell
man
me you go to church
okay
and you got a minister, but I just heard you use the Lord's name
yeah,
in vain twice.
I heard that too, Jonah.
Twice.
Okay, man, are you perfect or something?
Heard call
hey
in on the radio before.
Dude,
you're unbelievable.
Wait a minute, man.
You have none of your facts.
The Bible
you don't know anything about these bands that you're talking about. You make some valid points, and there is a valid point in people telling you not to do drugs, and when they listen to music that the, you know, that supports drug use.
Okay,
there is
a point
to be made there, but you've gone way
can I make a point? Okay, let me make a point, man.
Talk for days.
I want to make one point. You're only Christian because...
Hold on, Jonah. You got to let this guy talk. You got to let him talk.
Sorry. This guy, Jonah, is only Christian because his parents were listening to Pink Floyd on acid and decided to name you Jonah because it's out of the Bible. Because they're on acid, okay?
I didn't listen to Pink Floyd. In fact, I'm pretty young. I'm older than you, but we're both in the same generation. When I was your age, I wasn't allowed to listen to secular music at all. I wasn't allowed to listen to anything but Christian
hey,
music.
Dude.
I wasn't even allowed to listen to the radio.
Hey, dude, Offspring
doesn't have that influence on
okay
me.
Okay, Offspring doesn't make my mom want to squat over a Corona bottle, okay? But Jackson Brown does.
Offspring,
yeah.
Offspring, if you listen to the lyrics of Offspring and some of the other bands that you just named, if you listen to their lyrics,
right,
they are far beyond
okay
any of the music or the
no
vast majority of the
no
music
man
that came out of the Baby Boomer age.
Okay, I want to make a point here, both gentlemen. First of all, Your point, I believe, Justin, that you made to me off the air was that these bands in interviews admitted to using drugs. Bands like the Grateful Dead?
Yeah, I mean, they're so stupid. I mean, that's, our parents are liars, and the bands they listen to are the stupidest.
The old stupidest. Kurt Cobain had his head on straight, though, didn't he, guy?
Hey, tell you what, man. I don't listen to that, okay, old man? Hey, old man, I don't listen to Nirvana. I don't listen to Nirvana, dude. Oh, God, man. You know, coming to a modern age, not the Stone Age. I'm not talking about Kurt. Okay? I'm talking about bands that I like. AFI, they don't do drugs. Linkin Park, they don't do drugs, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, okay.
No drugs, no drug influence there.
Okay, if you want to have a bump on your penis for the rest of your life, that's your problem, man, but I don't.
Hey.
What does that mean?
Oh, this dude's probably got, like, five forms of drip going just because he's so down with Skynyrd and you know.
He's got some deep-seated issues
there.
Dude,
you got lesions all over your
you know,
penal area.
You know, and I'm willing to bet that if your minister heard you, I hope he's listening to this.
That's no kidding.
I hope he is, because if he heard you, if he heard you judge people the way you are.
Oh, you're judging me.
Use the Lord's name in vain.
You're judging me. You're judging me.
And speak with the disrespect that you've spoken concerning your parents when the Bible is very clear on how a person needs to treat their
parents. My parents don't respect me also, okay? And my preacher gets more quiff than anybody, man.
What do you go to a satanic church?
No, dude, I go to a Christian church. My preacher's got 2 19-year-old girlfriends. Beat that.
Oh, okay. Well, that guy's a really great preacher, isn't he? 2 19-year-old girlfriends.
Hey, Jonah, I think the whale's waiting for you. Oh, yeah. How do you like me now, man? How do you like me now?
All right, guys.
You don't go to a church.
Jonah,
I appreciate you.
Like,
I appreciate you calling. You got a lot of passion. And you've represented your church very well.
Sure, you're a secular talk show host, so you don't have any place talking about Christianity.
But I'm saying to this man, I thought he represented himself very well.
Yeah, he says he's a Christian. Meanwhile, he's dabbing his thing with gauze bandages trying to keep the seepage out.
I apologize, sir.
Oh, that's all right. You know.
All right, I'll see you later.
Time will take this, you know.
Hey, dude, the whale's calling, man.
School, because this guy's going to come and pull a Columbine wherever he's going to school at.
Oh, yeah, that's right, man. So. Listening to, like, Offspring. Get out of here, man. The Vietnam veterans, they listen to Grateful Dead. They butchered up babies and everything.
Oh, that's really cold, man. That's a cold shot.
Are you kidding me? Vietnam veterans smoked marijuana, and the next thing you knew, they went into a village and they destroyed all of the people and the animals and everything.
That's a messed up thing to say, man. That was an isolated incident. Justin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, man. All I got to say is I listen to everything from the Offspring all the way down to the Grateful Dead and Rolling Stones, and the music doesn't make the person who they are or what they do.
Okay,
the person makes his own decisions, and if you're telling me that listening to certain kind of music makes you do certain things, then I'm calling you a liar.
Is that your point, Justin?
No, my point.
Well, both of you guys are named Justin. I'm talking to Justin McElroy here.
No,
call me Lance.
Then. All right, I'll call you Lance.
Yeah, I bet you like that name, huh?
What is that supposed to mean, man? Can't you be friendly?
Well, I'm trying to say that my parents say don't use drugs. Then they turn around and they listen to the Led Zeppelin, and they had sex with, I mean, they had sex on airplanes with, they said they had sex on airplanes with dwarfs. Check that out.
Just because your parents have done stuff like that, it doesn't mean that you have to throw out a whole entire generation of music and say that every single person that listens to them is lying whores.
Hey,
it just means that.
Dude, how come
your
name is Lance?
Did it.
Hey, dude, how come your name's Lance?
Why? Yeah. My parents chose to do. I don't know. I didn't ask questions. I kind of couldn't talk at the time.
Lance?
I was kind of a baby.
Aren't you kind of embarrassed with a name like that?
No. Because.
Okay.
I mean,
why should he be embarrassed?
Like having to make fun of my names makes you a better person than
me. All I'm saying is, like the Rolling Stones, they did drugs, they did all kinds, they snorted everything under the kitchen
cabinet. And if you're telling me that any different kind of drug,
and the Beatles never made a song they weren't stoned when they made,
Prodigy does, then
you're
an idiot.
Flat out that Prodigy doesn't do drugs.
No, they don't, not to my knowledge, no. But, and the Rolling Stones never wrote a song without being drunk, because Keith Richards, look at him. Oh yeah, that guy's great. I'm that dude. I feel like just getting a whisk broom and just,
you know,
sweeping him into his coffin,
Justin,
man.
Justin,
Jesus.
Have you ever done drugs?
What?
Have you ever done drugs? You ever smoked pot?
Because my parents are listening to Peter Frampton.
Oh, so because of what your parents do, that makes you a
well, what do you
that
think?
Kind of person.
Your parents must have been listening to Peter Frampton when your dad
had. My dad did things that I don't want to even talk about.
Yeah, like had you.
That doesn't mean he listens to some kind of music that
right.
I would grow up and do the exact same thing.
I think I'm going to give each gentleman the last word here. And
okay, well, the thing I want
I didn't say you. I'm going to let Justin say, and then you.
All right.
Go ahead, Justin. Just 30 seconds to wrap
all
up.
All I got to say is
well,
that
I think your parents must have been listening to Peter Frampton.
Shut up and let him talk.
If you're telling me that just because your parents live a lifestyle and listen to a certain group of music, and that makes you have to end up however you do, then I say that all you are is a follower, and you're never going to be a leader, and you're never going to end up being anything in life because all you do is sit there and blame other things on music or anything outside of your control, and you'll never be a man and stand up for who you are.
Okay, but my parents are like lying to me when they say you may never not do drugs, and then they go and they put on the Rolling Stones, and that's a band that all they ever did drugs.
It's a cop out.
And then I say to my parents, I go, yeah, but listen. Then I say to my parents that, you know what, man? Because the Rolling Stones are doing it.
Hold on, what are you doing?
I'm sorry?
What are you doing?
You're getting flushed, buddy.
Oh, hey, dude, I'm tapping a kidney. Don't you ever do that, man? Don't you pee in public or something? God, man. Hey, man, I got your favorite song warmed up. Yeah. You dig that?
Uh-oh, I just smoked pot because I listened to that song.
Oh, no, here, man. Here's your favorite tune. Probably like this puerile swill. Or how about this one, man? This is my mom has sex with black men when she hears this. If you wanna get down cocaine, hello, hello, hello. God, what a...
Why do you... I just don't understand why you believe...
All right, okay, gentlemen, this is
that person.
We're gonna have to preserve this for another day. Justin McElroy's been my guest.
Can I play one song for him?
Check this out, man. If you want to get down and have your mother on her all fours, do cocaine.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Jesus.
Hey.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Extremism. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, we're going to have Dr. Jim Sadler, a flashback from yesterday. Dr. Sadler was on. What was he talking about? I'm spacing, but I know it was a riot. Oh, decriminalizing beating your wife because everybody's doing it. And we'll have a little flashback from that. That was a sweet thing. The Passion of Christ. Mel Gibson's old man is speaking out. Oh, this guy is a Hutton Gibson. If only somebody had dragged him behind a truck. And also, we've got Mel Karmazan, and wait till you hear what the memo is going around Infinity about obscenity on the air. It's the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Sometimes I think reading broadcasting news, inside news to you guys may not be the smartest thing because it's news about my industry that I'm really interested in. But I think again, and I believe just in the interest of public service, just so you guys know how certain government agencies work, just so you know how life proceeds, just so you know how life works, that it's important for me to tell you these things. You guys got your faces shoved into it with that Janet Jackson thing, whether you thought it was bad or not, is immaterial. Whether you thought what Janet Jackson did was good or bad is immaterial. What's material is the way the broadcast industry and the government reacted to this. There's a man by the name of Mel Karmazin. He's a very powerful guy. He's the head of Viacom. They own CBS. They own a lot of radio stations. He apparently read the Riot Act, I'm quoting from the New York Post, to executives at all of his radio stations, saying that there's going to be zero tolerance on obscenity. To his radio stations, he said this. Additionally, the FCC has fined a radio station in Chicago for indecency. This is their response to something that happened on television. Now, what did I tell you 3 weeks ago when this whole when this whole falderall began. I said, these guys at the FCC haven't got balls big enough to deal with turning an alarm clock off, let alone touching CBS. CB bloody well S. CB my good Lord S. Now, this gentleman, Mr. Karmazan, was called before Congress. He is a man of great power in the broadcast industry, and to have him sit there and have to take the crap of some congressperson from, Broken Whistle, Utah, or my old grandma, Kansas, is probably the height of humiliation for him. And they did. They said, you're lining your pockets. So guess what he does? He turns around, goes back to New York, and just like any Three Stooges skit we ever saw where Mo hits Larry and Larry turns around and hits Curly, that's what he did, man. He got belted, so he turned around and smacked the nearest, weakest thing he could find, the employees of radio stations, the lowest rung on the entertainment ladder. Let's not talk to anybody at the TV stations. Let's read the riot act to the radio stations. The guys who were, you know, we fight for our lives in this medium. I mean, we fight for our lives, and as a result, it's become a very prolific medium. But TV, so this is the big investigation that Michael Powell ordered on television. He's fined some radio stations. Mr. Powell, sir, with all due respect, and maybe with maybe not so much that is due, you know what? Give it up trying to con me or anybody else that works in this business that you're going to deal with CBS. That's a hoot and a half, Jack. You haven't got the cojones to up the power from 300 to 500 watts on a daytimer out in Palooka, Mexico or something, man. What are you going to say to CBS? Oh, I know what your response is going to be. Let's find a radio station. Because TV got out of hand, let's lay it on the radio stations. Man, business as usual. And you mark my words, the CBS thing's going to go away. And he won't find them, he won't touch them, he won't do anything. And the people, the public, the people who watch them were all upset. They ain't going to say anything else about it either. Because television, well, hell, that's television. You just remember, you heard it here first on the old Phil Hendry show. Now, here's another one that's really, like, unbelievable. This is Mel Gibson's old man. You know who this guy is? Hoot Gibson or Hutton Gibson or Jackass Gibson, something like that? You guys haven't heard much about a movie. It's called The Passion of Christ. Maybe you've heard about it. Mel Gibson has made a movie, and it shows Jesus getting nailed up to the cross. It's going to be coming out on Ash Wednesday. Real controversial, they say. Meanwhile, he's got a father by the name of Hutton Gibson who claims that the Holocaust didn't happen, Jews are all a bunch of bloodsuckers, and the whole damn thing's going to hell in a handbasket because all the Jews moved to America. I mean, the guy's a putrid anti-Semite. And Mel hadn't said anything about it. I mean, the whole damn family just stinks. The whole family smells like a really long, unflushed toilet. Honest to God, this old man has said, and let me just quote him. He says that Jews claimed there were 6.2 million in Poland that were killed before the war, and they claimed after war there were 200,000. Therefore, he must have killed 6 million. They simply all got up and left. They were over in the Bronx and Brooklyn and Sydney, Australia and Los Angeles. He says that Jews are after one world religion and one world government. Hutton Gibson, 85, said in a radio interview. Who interviewed this dirty, filthy old bastard? Who was it?
Let me check.
Hey, Gibson, you ought to do your entire family a favor and run your old man over with a car. That's just my suggestion. Just, you know how you do it? It's very simple. You say, hey, Dad, would you check the taillights? Because I think one of them's burned out. Why, certainly, son. And then, oops, you know, it's in reverse, and it's done. It's done. And you've done the world a huge favor. Or, here's another one. Hey, Dad, could you go down to the Central Market in Santa Monica and pick me up some flowers? You mess with the brakes. Next thing you know, he's plowing through 16 kiosks of bananas. But then people would get hurt, and I don't want that to happen. So, how about this one? How about saying, Dad, I think I got the wiring outside for the lights fixed. Could you go ahead and just check that one socket one more time? Sure, son. And as his finger goes into the socket, you flip the switch up. Don't even look to what happened. Just go in and make yourself an egg salad sandwich. In about 3 hours, what should be out on a porch is something smoldering that used to be an old man. But I like to back up the, you know, just, geez, yeah, I think I got one of my taillights burned out, Dad.
But you heard what I said about the Jews, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I heard about the Jews, sure. They're horrible. But, well, I'll get out and check it. Jesus, you and those taillights. And you can hear him babbling away as he goes back to the car. And then what you do is you slip it into reverse, rev it up real good, and let your foot off the brake. Next thing you know, two speed bumps later, just a quick... There's something laying there in the driveway, and he ain't taking a nap, I'll tell you that. Maybe dirt napping. Jack Ball Gibson said in a bizarre interview that he gave, he also said Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan should be lynched. Well, why not? He's a Jew, right? And he called for the government to be overthrown. You know, it could be that Gibson's so embarrassed by this poor, sad sack of an old man that he doesn't want to have any comment on it, right? But who are the people that are giving a guy like this, that are giving this guy the time of the day? Who are they? Oh, the New York Times. Well, in any event, it's the Daily News. Gibson reserved most of his vitriol for Judaism, asking, is the Jew still actively anti-Christian? He is for being a Jew. He is anti-everyone else. Mel Gibson's spokesman, Alan Nerob, had no comment on the elder Gibson's tirade, who went on to say, that Jew spokesman of my son's, that guy's a real jackass. But Abraham Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League said they were in the words of a classical anti-Semite. If it wasn't so bad, it would be funny, he said. Hey, wouldn't you, don't you think Gibson ought to come out and say something? I think he should. I ain't telling he has to. He's probably embarrassed beyond words by the old bastard. But I said there's too many other ways to deal with an old guy like this than getting embarrassed by him. Run him over, electrocute him, drown him, something like that. Here, let me give you a nice hot tub, Dad. Well, thank you, son. I... Just something right out of that, you know, what lies beneath. We'll have more on how to kill an older relative on the Phil Hendry Show. Hutton Gibson. God, does that ever sound like a Nazi or what? Hutton Gibson, who wrote the manifesto for the Aryan Reich. Anyway, this Passion movie is going to be about Jesus getting nailed up there on the cross, right? Now, they mentioned Last Temptation of Christ, and the reason why they mentioned it is it's very interesting. I was around. You guys remember when Last Temptation of Christ came out? Oh, my God, you'd think the world was coming. You'd think the Catholic Church was coming to a screeching halt on that one, man. I bet you the Pope's rear end puckered up tighter than a camel's rear end out there in the middle of a horse race. The Last Temptation of Christ was supposed to be the most disrespectful pile you've ever seen. Oh, really? Well, they're renting it at Blockbuster now. And anything they rent at Blockbuster can't be all that interesting. And I'll tell you one even better than that. This is perfect. I remember when I saw The Last Temptation of Christ, I was kind of impressed with it, and I wanted to see it again. And I told the kids, you should see this movie. It's very important. I showed my kids The Last Temptation of Christ, and they were bored to tears. Bored to tears. They were weeping. They were on the floor holding their faces in their hands as if they'd thrown a 75-yard pick in the Super Bowl. You ever seen a super, you know, like a quarterback kneel down and bury his face in his hands after throwing a pick? That was my kids after watching that movie. Just like, why did you make us see that? It was so dull. Dull. Then there was Madonna with that Pepsi commercial where she showed some black guy on a cross or some bullcrap like that. Remember how big controversial that was? Oh, that was as dull as hell. Now this Passion of Christ. I bet you in about 2 years it's going to be a yawn like you wouldn't believe. Violent? It's really violent, huh? That's what they're telling us. The Passion of Christ is really violent. May I make a suggestion to Mr. Gibson and every filmmaker out there? Here it is. You guys don't show real violence. I don't care if you show a guy strapped to a board being slowly eaten by rats. You don't show real violence. Real violence is a life-changing experience. And when you clowns say something to the tune of, you know, we're showing how life really is. No, you're not showing how life really is. Life is, violence in real life is a traumatic experience that is not accompanied by a soundtrack. There is no ending credit, and you have to live with it for the rest of your life. Film violence is in no way, shape, or form relative to, akin to, or in any kind of relationship to real violence. And it is the arrogance only of a movie maker when he would say something like, well, it's an anti-violence film to show people what real violence looks like. I'm laying dollars to donuts that while the Passion of Christ is showing, I've got a big, heavy bag of popcorn, and I'm just, as they're hammering him up there. That's how shocked and frightened and just scarred I'm going to be. You want to bet? We're going to get passes for The Last Temptation of Christ, and with every pass, a large buttered popcorn with a medium-sized drink, your choice. And all the Phil Henry fans will be there as they're flaying Jesus' skin off of him, just shoving their hand in. Can I get some extra butter on this, man? Or, you know, what's going on? You'll hear Raisinette boxes being unwrapped as it's... Guys open it, milk duds. That's how, you know, real your violence is, Gibson. Nothing against you, man. You make a good movie as far as it goes, but Jesus, movies after a while with this, it's an anti-violence movie. Oh, really? Is that right? Like Unforgiven. Remember that movie with Clint Eastwood, Unforgiven? He said it was an anti-violence Western. You know, I love Clint Eastwood, and Unforgiven is one of my favorite movies, but anti-violence? Who are you kidding with that, man? Jesus, you know, you ought to go back to meditating or something. At the end of that flick, when Clint Eastwood blew away every cat in that bar, I was like, all right. You know, how's that? I didn't go into that movie thinking violence was bad. I went into that movie thinking, boy, that dude just dispatched like 9 guys with one shotgun. That was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then I belched up a little bit of Diet Pepsi, got in my car, and sped off. You look around you, when that Passion of Christ comes out, look around you in the theater, and as he's being nailed to the cross, see how many guys are just shoving their hand into the extra large bag of buttered popcorn. That'll tell you how violent the bloody thing is. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Oh man, the University of Colorado is a piece of work. Now they got that dumbass Gary Barnett, the coach, they've told him to take a flying jump. We'll talk a little bit more about that on The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Now, here's what I'm saying. If that dirty old bastard that calls himself Mel Gibson's father, this Hutton Gibson, had ever said the things that he said, say directly to my part Jewish children, of whom I have 4, for instance, if he said, yeah, they're all in the Bronx, they're all in Brooklyn, you know, the Holocaust never happened, and you Jews are anti-everybody, and you're in for one world religion and one world government. If you ever said that to my kids, I'd run them over with my car. That's all I'm saying. You mean you wouldn't talk him out of it? You would? No, I'm not going to let that dirty, filthy old coot continue on with his ranting, spewing out of one side and then the other, sitting there and spewing and then going into the bathroom and spewing from the other end because of his diet probably isn't all, you know, all that right because Mel has probably cut him off. Because he's eating cat food. No wonder he's angry, Mel. Why don't you give your old man some money so he can buy some decent food instead of having that cat food stew? What a cheap bastard you are, Gibson. I like these guys with their we're going to show the world violence thing, though. Isn't that the height of arrogance? Anybody who's ever experienced true violence in their life, it stays with you for the rest of your life. The average movie stays with me for about 5 weeks. About 5 weeks. And then after that, I regret that I ever saw it. Like Last Temptation of Christ, I was telling you, I thought that it was a pretty good flick the first time I saw it. Then as I watched it with my kids 12 years later, I was appalled at how boring it was. I was just shockingly appalled at how dull the entire process of watching that lame movie was. Now, Passion of Christ, this thing that Gibson is putting out, probably, you know, is interesting in that there's a lot of blood. All I hear about is the blood. Now I think to myself, that's the only movie that Mel Gibson's ever been able to make. The guy never made a point with any movie he ever made. It's just about blood, right? Well, if it's only about blood, Gibson, it's going to be dull. Want to tell a story about this guy? Yeah, okay. You want to show how he suffered? No movie can tell you how people suffer. No movie. No movie captures violence at all. At all. In even the smallest sense. And we have given over to these guys that make movies the opinion now that they are actually able to deliver into our homes real-life violence. Boy. I mean, that takes an opinion of yourself that is, I bet you got a higher opinion of yourself than Jesus had of himself. I mean, after he finally got to heaven, that is. So anyway, getting back to Hutton Gibson, if that dirty, filthy old man, and I understand that he's just a stupid old man, but he gets all this play because he's Gibson's old man, so allow me to comment on all the play that he's getting, right? If that dirty old man ever said something like that to my kids, who are part Jewish, I can assure you, Mr. Gibson, and I'm talking to you, Mel, that your old man wouldn't last another few seconds on this planet. That's the God's honest truth. Remember what I said about how bigots, there's only one way to deal with them, violently? Do you hear what this old creep is talking about? You think he can talk to an old bastard like that? I hope he has a heart attack and dies. Or I hope he slips and falls down some stairs. I hope somebody does to him what Richard Widmark did to that old lady in Kiss of Death, wrapped her up in a wheelchair with electrical cord and pushed her down the stairs. That'd be fantastic. Mr. Gibson, can I help you?
Well, I don't mind if I do. Yeah, I'll show you.
I hope you step out in front of a bus, old man. I hope you have a stroke. No kidding, Mel. I hope your old man dies. Okay? That clear enough? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jesus, Henry, is this supposed to be a comedy show? I thought that was very funny. What's wrong with wrapping up Mel Gibson's old man in a wheelchair with electrical cord and pushing him down some stairs? I think that's a riot. Well, God, you're talking about violence and death? Yeah, but at least I make it interesting. Not the way half these clowns that make these movies now, this shows you the real violence of life. It does it really? Well, you tell me all about it. Mel Gibson's old man. You know what? Mr. Gibson, that newspaper you were looking for, it's in that news box across the street. No, you don't have to wait for the light to turn green. Just go right ahead. Oh, here, let me just push you out in front of that crosstown bus. Hey, is that a billboard advertising Mr. Gibson's old man? No, that's him flattened against the grill of the bus. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. All right, the University of Colorado. Baby, have we got stuff to say about that. The University of Colorado. And plus, we'll have news that even the University of Colorado football team can understand by Bobby the Retard. Coming up on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Larry Grover is the chairman of Conservatives of Kern County. Paid us a visit last night. He said that his wife, who left him along with the four kids, has now remarried a much younger man and apparently is trying to stick it to him by showing how happy she is. I said, why would she want to stick it to you by showing how happy she is? Because she's angry that I'm a Republican and she's a Democrat. So in other words, Larry doesn't get it. She's moved on. He said that while they were married, he didn't have time to have sex with her. And to let her know that he wasn't interested in sex, he'd blow an air horn in her face.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I think this guy here, he's dwelling on the fact that his wife's getting it from somebody else. But the reality of the fact is that he's kind of too much of a prude, really, to be...
Well, when you say getting it from someone else, knowing what I just said about women and their disinterest in sex...
You know, that ain't yeah, that, you know, I've never met a woman yet that's had a disinterest in sex. You know, in,
well,
in my point
about,
of view.
Well, when you say that, you got to qualify. What about your mother? You know, see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to talk about her that way.
No, no.
So,
whatever.
The point that I'm making is that this woman going around with a younger man, 33 years old. My wife's in on all fours right now trying to ruin my work for George Bush's second term.
Well, see, I don't disagree with you there because I back George 100%.
Exactly.
And I still get tell. But the fact is, you just need to learn to put the pen down and handle your business instead of basically have your nose in the books. You know, if she's coming to your work and doing this,
well,
it's obviously telling me something.
Jason,
you're not handling your end.
I don't know if you've ever been in the military or done anything to help your country, but there's a time when you just have to say no to some woman walking in, rubbing it all over your pen and pencils and
oh, come on, man. I mean, how can you say no to that? What do you think? You're so intent on right.
I say no to that.
Look, at we've got four daughters, so excuse me, I do know how to do it in a way that can create life and also stimulate some pleasurable experience.
No, because, see, well, it's coming off to me like you really don't know how to pleasure somebody. You do it just for the breeding factor, you know. From what I've
well,
heard,
we had our four daughters. I don't see any other reason to engage in it while there's a there was a president who is doing it on the floor of the you know, what's the place that
the White House?
Was a sexual deviant, but you know you really
kind of would hang on me like
place
a
for it.
My
but,
wife would hang
really
on me like a blue ass baboon in heat, and I couldn't have it. I tell you.
So you'd blow freaking horn.
Yes.
If it was me, you could, you know, you just handle your business right where it's at and quit being such a prude.
Good point,
and
Jason.
To me, just makes you...
Well, I wear the title prude with great pride, Jason, because...
That's obvious, because, you know, I live in the state of Mormons, and I've never met somebody with a stick up their butt so far as you.
Oh, now you're getting personal. Like, are you saying I like to take something hard up my rear end?
Because no, you're the one that's applying that.
Get it out of here. Get him out of here.
Yeah, I don't know what you're applying. I don't know where you're going with that, but leave me out of it. I don't know what you're into.
Well, I'm blowing the air horn, which means I want you out of here because you're trying to get sexual with me.
No, he is not.
Yeah.
Jason, thank you very much.
That guy's talking about, hey, would you like to have a broom handle?
No, he didn't.
Bug off. Go on. Get out. Every time she'd come in and she'd say, how about tonight, Larry? How about tonight? It's been 6 months. How about tonight? And I go, get out of here. God, there's the air horn. Bug off.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
So remember, guys, when you just don't want to, quote, give it to your wife anymore, blow that air horn in her face. I'm sure. Get it out of here. God, get your thong out of here. God, get that garter belt and that thong and get the heck out of here. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, where you can pick up our Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio. Buy it online or call 877-616-7445. You'll notice that the many, many weeks have gone by since I focused on the topic of sports. Just nothing has been happening, and I don't go on crusades. I don't do crusades. I don't have some, you know, thing I'm interested in. I got the listeners call their congress. I could care less whether you call your congressman or not. If you want to, dude, it's great. If you don't, no sweat off of me. I just know what I find outrageous. I know what I find interesting. The University of Colorado is not an aberration. The University of Colorado is the norm. Hear me again. The University of Colorado is the norm among college sports. Spoiled, rotten, reprobates, criminally minded, jackass athletes from every scum-sucking corner of the country wind and dine to come to some football program that I guess considers itself to be top-notch. I wouldn't give you 5 cents for the University of Colorado football program. You guys are a joke. Well, they won a national championship? One? I don't know what they've done. They got a guy named Gary Barnett. Now, this guy he appears, according to his comments, to be some kind of like a borderline imbecile. Because when they talked to him about a young woman who played football for him, a Katie Nita, who alleged she was raped in the year 2000 by a teammate, he said, well, she wasn't any good. We're losing focus. He said that we don't, this girl wasn't any good, okay? She should never have been on the team. As if that's got anything to do with what the hell it was she was saying. In other words, this guy Barnett is a jackass, but he's exactly the kind of coach that college football fans dig because he seems to be able to put a winner on the field. Never mind whether the guy eats with his hands or not. Never mind whether the guy's discovered toilet paper or lives in a tree or crawls into a knot hole in a tree or just goes into a hole in the ground under there and spends the night with Saddam and a good book. Never mind whether this guy, in other words, lives among the world of humans. He's a good football coach. So they told Barnett to take a seat, man. This guy has been suspended as head coach of that football team. They ought to fire the guy. Gee, boy, you really are over the top with this, aren't you, Phil? No, I'm not really over the top with it at all. Well, sure you are, man. You're making a big deal out of nothing. Who cares? You know, that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes, man. That's the way it goes. Yeah, really? Well, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to rock the boat. I'm going to make life tough on all these guys. What do you think of that? How come? Because that makes me smile. It does. It makes me happy. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it and talk about it and talk about it until it gets these guys so freaking burned they have a season like Warren Sapp just had. You remember Warren Sapp, a guy that used to be a good football player? Until I started telling the truth about the guy, what an absolute bum he is. By the way, Kimmel, I hear he was your co-host. What's that about, man? Did you hear that? Kimmel had him as a co-host on his show. For a week! A week! Are you trying to tell me you can't think of anything funny to say to the point where you have that fat ass on? That grinning, fat tub? Warren Sapp, right? We started talking about the fact that Warren Sapp drops illegitimate kids off all over the world, right? I mean, in other words, Warren Sapp is one of the reasons why we have a crime problem, and his season went right in the ash can. Guess what? I think I'll do the same thing for the University of Colorado. Now, there's two things that you got to remember. And the first thing I'm going to mention to you, many people will not like me to say, but I'm going to say it. Because I have to come to the defense of that program, at least on this level. You try to prove a point about women in sports by dropping, in this case, a female, but it could be any non-traditional individual. Anybody out there who's trying to prove a point by dropping a non-traditional individual in a highly cutthroat environment like a Division I college football program, you are just serving that person up like a filleted freaking fish, man. You are waiting for them to be nailed to the boards. You're not doing them any favors at all. And whoever put this young woman up to being a Division I kicker didn't have her well-being in mind. They were going to make their political point. Are you saying that's okay to rape her then? No, I didn't say that. Because what I will tell you is something that's even perhaps more frightening if you think about it. This young lady, even if she was not raped or sexually harassed, was still going to have a horror story of a time at the University of Colorado. I'm talking about on the practice field where one well-placed elbow will send your nose straight back through your head. Where one well-placed foot will drive what's left of your ass bone right up through your head. Where one well-placed knee, one well-placed forearm will make your head that used to be on your shoulders something that looks like a hood ornament on the coach's car. They could have made life real, real tough for her because a woman is coming in there and now you got kickers that are sitting behind her. What do they think? They resent her, too. So what you've done is you've served her up. Bon appetit, boys. Have yourselves a nice time. You served her up a la carte, man. You ain't doing her any favors. You're making your big, fat political point. You got to be one kind of a selfish imbecile to do that to any individual. You got to be a real ego case pushing your agenda to do that to any person, whether she be black, whether she be gay, whatever, without giving them some protection. She had none. The coach hates her guts. The players hated her guts. The school hates her guts. The administration did nothing to protect her. The athletic director did nothing to protect her. And in the end, she was sexually harassed and eventually raped. And that father she's got probably was leading the charge to get his little girl to be the first female kicker on a Division I team. And I bet you he really put that Barnett in his place when he went in there and said, "Hey, coach, how come my daughter got raped? I don't want to talk about it." Oh, okay. Some kind of a man you are. Now, this guy Barnett, the next time you see him on a football field, he ought to be lifting up big spoonfuls of water out of a bucket. That would be my pick. Because, like I said, this is a university, folks. This is where people go for an education. I mean, since when are they hiring baboons out of a tree? This is where people go to get an education. This is where the liberal arts are taught. This is where the sciences are taught. This is where political science. This is where minds are expanded. And in the middle of that, they go out here to the deepest jungle and they find an ape out of a tree and make him the head coach of the team. Now, how do you figure that? What's in the minds of the people that run the University of Colorado? I hope you guys lose every game. I'm going to enjoy watching you this year. Boy, you are vindictive, Henry, against players, against athletes, against the entire athletic establishment of America. Yeah, I am. Yeah, I am. And I tell you, it's nothing personal. It just gives me great pleasure. It gives me pleasure to dog these guys. They've never been dogged before. They've never had anybody say anything about the establishment of their little industry before. It's always been individual shots. Well, this program's bad and that program's bad. Every last one of those programs are rotten to the core. University President Elizabeth Hoffman announced Barnett's punishment at a Wednesday evening news conference in Denver, saying that the move is directly related to inappropriate statements. It's a guy's sport. Players felt like Katie was forced on him. It was obvious Katie wasn't very good. She was awful. You know what guys do. They respect your ability. I mean, you could be 90 years old, and if you could go out and play, they'd respect you. Well, Katie was a girl, and not only was she a girl, well, that's one reason to disrespect her. Right, Barnett? She was terrible, okay? And there's no other way to say it, Barnett told reporters Tuesday afternoon. Well, guess what, Barnett? You're out of a job. You're out of a job. You meathead. However, as a public service, we will have later on in the hour news that even University of Colorado football players can understand, as read by a young man who just got done making a macrame basket and delivering flowers on a bicycle, Bobby from the home over here. He'll be reading it. All right, 1-800-449-8686. And don't forget, our Best of the Phil Henry Show CD for the year 2003 is called The Death of Talk Radio. You can pick it up online at www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hey, if you guys think I'm in love with George Bush, even though I'm a Democrat, yeah? Well, this cat wants a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. Now, that proves to me something I've suspected for a long time, which is that when it does come to certain issues, the president is almost mentally retarded. Almost retarded. A constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. Let me tell my fine feathered friends listening to me tonight who are in favor of that. That would be the very first time in the history of our country that we amended the Constitution to deprive a certain group of a right. Not give one to people, but deprive one. If we amended the greatest document in the history of the world in self-government, the Constitution of the United States, and made a mockery of it with a constitutional amendment depriving people of the right to get married, it would be the very first time anything like that has ever been tried. And then, you know something? Then I would seriously consider moving the hell out of this country. And don't bother calling up and saying, don't let the screen door hit your ass on the way out. I get the sentiment. You want to live in a Nazified place like that? The Patriot Act, man, ain't that bad. The Patriot Act ain't that bad. The freaking Patriot Act hasn't even been deemed unconstitutional. Gay marriage, banning gay marriage, is unconstitutional. Why the hell do you think they want to amend the Constitution? Get it? San Francisco's going to challenge the ban. They say the ban on gay marriage is an unconstitutional ban. Just because a bunch of brain surgeon California voters get together with all of their brain surgery and Phi Beta Kappa and rocket scientist degrees, they all get together to say, no gay marriage. Just because you get together and do that doesn't make it constitutional, folks. Do you understand the concept of constitutional? Is it even something that's on the radar here? In other words, all of the people in the state of California, which could very well happen given the, you know, the mentality of people who live here, they could all vote to make concentration camps for Jews legal again. We could all vote on that. I mean, it's not likely, even as dumb as we are, but we might, you know, actually get something like that voted on and we could pass it. But it would be unconstitutional. Do you get it? Doesn't matter what you vote on. Is it conforming to the Constitution of the United States of America, which guarantees equal protection under the law? Equal protection under the law. Otherwise, we could vote to keep black people in the back of buses, Jews in concentration camps, Indians back on the reservation, Irish Catholics back on the boat, Polacks here, and we could even make it legal to call them Polacks. We could vote on all kinds of things. We could be real dumb. Just take a look at the German people in 1933. You talk about stupid. Jesus, they broke every record in the book for that. But it would be unconstitutional. Unconstitutional. That is why the president wants a constitutional amendment to make it constitutional, to deprive a group of a right. The first time in the history of that great document that would happen. And that would be the day that the American people, if we ratified that amendment, that would be the day that we all collectively dropped our pants, lifted our legs, and peed all over that document. Just yellowed it up, man. Oh, you're really crude, Henry. Crude? That ain't near as bad. What I just said isn't near as bad as what we would do to that Constitution if we ever passed a ban on gay marriage. You might as well just pull down the trousers and go ahead and make sure there's a leaf around to wipe, though. Oh, wait, you could wipe with the Constitution.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, Conan O'Brien did it. I didn't think he would, but he did. He bent over and oiled up for the government of Quebec. All right. He apologized. So I'm sorry that I said what I said, but Jesus. God. Dude, all you did was put up Queer Street. You know, wasn't there a time or a place, or is it, you know, like I've often said, somewhere in the world today there sits in a gulag a poet, a writer, a filmmaker who said something against the government, and the guy's slowly having his fingernails pulled out between snacks. I mean, that's a suffering artist. Over here, you look at an artist cross-eyed. I shouldn't say that, but you look at a television or radio artist cross-eyed, and those guys get the Wesson oil out so fast, they pull down the Wesson. They ask you how far you'd like it to be spread. They go out of their way. They say, you know, as long as I was popping up some popcorn for the Passion of Christ, I do have some Wesson oil left over, sir. Oh, okay. So Conan O'Brien said something about the Quebecers or this or that. They're a bunch of freaks. Nobody likes them anyway, so he just stated the obvious. And guess what? The cat's got to apologize to Canada. Nothing against Canada. But isn't that the last time I checked an American show, Conan O'Brien? Honest to God, as I've often said, my family comes from Canada. There's no problem with anybody. I just care about my country first. I know that my radio show airs in Canada, and I'm eternally grateful for that. But I can tell you this, and I say it with the greatest of respect, if you needed to pull it off the air to put Canadian programming on instead, that would be fine with me, because I'd much rather have you listen to a Canadian show than beef about American programming. You don't like it? Put something on originating in Canada, talking about how everybody in Quebec is the greatest thing since sliced bread and canned beer. And they're all just marvelous, even though they're ripping that country to shreds, even though they're gutting what used to be a pretty nice place. Go ahead. put on the Guy Lafleur show or something. You know, late night from Montreal. Live from Quebec. And you can have a bunch of frogs on there. Get all the guys from Cirque du Soleil bending their legs over their rear ends, you know, smelling their own anuses or whatever those guys do. I mean, I don't know how to put it any more clearly. Get all them street musicians and have yourself a ball, baby. Have yourself a ball. Big wow. Look, if the show's dopey, then the show's dopey. If it's sophomoric humor, it's sophomoric humor. But I would say, with the greatest of respect to the people at NBC, and that's pretty hard to say, no, I mean, they're fine guys. You know, what is there anything you wouldn't ask your people to do? That's the most important question, right? Is there anything you wouldn't ask them to do or get upset about? All right, 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Henry Show coming up. News that even Gary Barnett and the entire University of Colorado football team could really understand. It'll be read by Timmy, who is, you know, developmentally disabled. Oh, his name's Bobby. And Bobby is a nice boy, and he's cleaning the fry bin at Burger King, and he may be able to move up to lot pickup. And he's going to be doing the news here very, very shortly. Here's Tim. Hello, Tim. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Fine, thank you. First time, long time. Yeah, I got a question, actually a comment. The comment that Coach Barnett made, I mean, why are you picking on him, per se? Because this sort of reminds me of how a certain talk show host commented about the death of Selena when he said that her music sucked. But she said nothing to the fact that, you know, she deserved a diary.
I don't know what you're talking about, and it's irrelevant. Why don't we stick to the subject? You're talking about Gary Barnett?
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. I mean,
you're talking about Gary? Look, it ain't about the talk show host. It's about the... See, one of the common things is, if the talk show host says something, then let's indict the talk show host. Look, I'm just as insignificant as anybody, man. I'm just speaking a truth about Gary Barnett. You could probably indict me for a lot of hypocrisies in my life, but it ain't about me. It's not about me. It's about the athletic establishment extant in college football and college sports as corrupt and criminally conscious as professional sports. Gary Barnett is a borderline imbecile who made a series of comments about the rape of a woman that I thought literally was coming out of some social retard. I couldn't believe it was coming out of a guy that coaches at a university.
But the comment was a result of some reporter asking his opinion or view about the guy's harassing her, not the rape.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Well, then they should harass her because she's a chick and she's lousy, huh?
I mean, when I play football, they harass me.
Did they stick their hands down your? Did they stick their hands down your pants and feel your nuts?
They whipped me in the ass with towels. In the shower.
Are you gay?
I didn't like it, but
were you digging it?
I mean, I don't like it, but that's part of the
Just because you put up with it doesn't mean she has to. You know, that's your problem.
But like you said, also, that's part and parcel of playing football in a Division I team.
I said that you are really setting somebody up for failure. I said that that has to be stated. However, having stated that,
right,
what happened to her? Get out of here! You bore the hell out of me. Oh my God! I should have hung up when I heard first time, long time. What's that supposed to mean? First time, long time. Like the first time I see it's going to be a long time till the next time I see it. I hope. Here is Bill. Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, Phil.
Hi.
How you doing?
Fine, sir.
Hey, listen, I just want to comment about this Coach Barnett in Colorado, the Colorado coach.
Uh-huh.
I think you're a little bit off base on that, and I'd like to tell you why, and you can go ahead and you can respond, but I'd like to start off by saying that his responsibility in my eyes is to coach football. Okay, number one, is to coach football.
He's an educator.
Okay, he cannot...
He's an educator at a university.
Okay, he cannot... Okay.
He's an educator at a university with students.
All right. Well, Phil, just listen to this just for a second. He cannot be around these students and be responsible for them 24 hours a day. Some of the responsibility has to fall on these students and the parents of these students and their upbringing.
Gary Barnett ought to be fired, and he ought to, the next time you see him on a football field, he ought to be washing jock straps.
All right, Phil.
Okay, get him out of here. And you know something, man? You're a hardworking guy, Bill, and I like that. But why are you giving this guy a pass? Look, you're out there busting your ass. You look the wrong way, cross-eyed at somebody, and you're going to have to answer for it. This guy is an educator and the coach of the football team, and he's on a university campus. He's not coaching for the New England Patriots. These college coaches, I think they have pro jobs. Half of them couldn't get arrested in the pros. But the fact is that this man is responsible for the behavior of his players and should have had a talk with these players. And instead, according to the father, the guy was like a brick wall talking to him. The father went and talked to him, okay? Now, let me ask you, are you a father?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, somebody does that to your daughter, and the guy walks in and says, well, let me tell you something, Bill. I can't be around these guys 24 hours. I'm sorry your daughter had her breasts squeezed and her crotch grabbed. I really am, Bill, but I can't. You know, you're talking to the wrong guy, Bill.
Yeah.
And what would you do? Would you tip your cap to him and say, yes, sir, Coach Barnett, well, thank you for your time?
No, I wouldn't speak to the coach in the first place. If my daughter came to me with that accusation...
Who would you speak to?
I would speak to the police immediately.
They can't be around her 24/7.
Right, but I understand what you're saying as long as, you know, throwing it back at me. But the thing about it is if I'm concerned about serious allegations of rape and sexual assault, I wouldn't even be concerned with the coach at that point. I would directly.
And what if it happened again and again and again? At what point would you say the coach might need to be spoken to?
I don't know.
Maybe the fifth rape? Maybe the sixth rape?
Well, I think that it should be investigated, and if there's wrongdoing on the coach's behalf, or if he had any involvement in any way or any...
No, let's say he wasn't involved. Let's say he just, in your words, can't be around him 24/7.
Well, then I think it is
the
player.
So like 12, 15 women or 16 guys get raped, but as far as you're concerned, the coach is fine because he can't be around him 24/7.
I feel that if the coach is around him and anything along any of those lines is going on, the coach is a mature adult and as an educator and is coach of that school, then he should do whatever is appropriate. If there's something going
on... What are you talking about, man? I just said to you, if there's 16 people that have been raped and the guy hasn't been around him 24/7, that's okay with you. He keeps his job. Is that right?
Well... What I'm trying to say is...
Oh, get out of here. Jesus, can't anybody give me a straight answer on that one? You know, everybody, especially the men in my audience, are so deeply, madly, and passionately in love with their football coaches and players, they can't see the end of their freaking nose. Just take a look at it straight on, man. Guy's an educator. He works for a university campus. A woman got raped. A woman was being sexually harassed. This guy, Barnett, belongs behind bars himself. I don't know, Barnett, you know, if you're listening or not, probably not, but I'll tell you something. Next time I see you on a football field, man, I hope you get the lines chalked real straight. And remember, there's 100 yards on a football field, dude, so bring a tape measure. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Don't forget the Best of Phil Henry Show souvenir shop. Hey, man. Ash Wednesday's coming up, and our featured gift for Ash Wednesday to give to the Catholic in your family, or just anybody, just any cat you see walking around with a dirty smudge over his face, you should give him that Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue thing, because it's a groovy thing. It's the Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue set. Get it now on the Phil Henry website.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now, the Phil Henry Show presents news that even the University of Colorado football team can understand. Filling in for Bud Dickman is Bobby from our studios in New York. Here's Bobby. Go.
The coach of the football team out of Colorado, he said a dirty thing about a girl. And he'll never, 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 never coach again. Never.
Someone get a bib over here. And now more news with Bobby.
Mel Gibson, did you see Braveheart? He made that his dad doesn't like Hebrews. One time my dad doesn't like Hebrews. He called them a heap and sheeny. When the Mel Gibson dad says the Hebrews.
And now more news on the San Francisco gay marriage ban. Here again, Bobby.
Well, a man likes another man, and a girl likes another girl. They want to marry up and have babies. That's the stupidest thing. They can't have a baby, and they can't get married. Because of San Francisco, which is where all of the gay ones live, lets them do it anyway. How stupid is that?
Now with sports news, Bobby.
What about Alex Rodriguez going to the Yankees? What about it?
And now entertainment news with Bobby.
Ozzy Osbourne quit.
And now here's Bobby.
John Kerry and John Edwards is... they're both going to be president, it says.
And now with radio news, Bobby.
I don't understand this story.
Give it to me. It says that Viacom President Mel Karmazan read the Riot Act to executives. All right, then you don't have to read it. And now here's weather from Bobby.
There's rain! Rain!
And now the financial report with Bobby.
My dad left my mom and the house got taken by the bank.
And now a farm report from Bobby.
Did you ever see a cow?
This has been news that even pro football players can understand with...
me, Bobby!
The show has been produced by...
Bobby!
And... in association with...
Bobby Productions!
Right here on the...
Phil Henry Show!
What a dork.
I gotta go bathroom.
Go to the... somebody take him to the toilet, will you? All right, I hope that cleared it up for you guys. Just remember this, okay? When it comes to the presidential race, John Kerry and John Edwards are both going to be president. And as far as financial news goes, Bobby's house is going to be taken by the bank because his dad left his mom. All right, 1-800-449-8686. What does he want? You want the key to the can?
Yeah.
Give him the key to the restroom, will you?
Who's going to come with me to wipe?
No one's coming with you to wipe. You learned how to do that last year. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. And our Best of the Phil Henry Show CD available online at www.philhenryshow.com. Don't forget that we are going to donate all of the proceeds from our CD to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Here is Travis. You're on the Phil Henry Show, Travis.
Yeah, hey, Phil. How you doing?
Good.
Oh, I tell you what, I'm a little bit upset with you right now. I really don't know whether to be mad or if I just didn't understand you and the last caller. I was calling. My one comment was about how there's so many players. If the coach knew that this was going on, then you're completely correct.
What are you guys talking about if the coach knew? It's his job to know this. Look, Travis, when 9/11 went down, guess who they fired in Boston? The head of security. Was it him who hijacked the plane? No. Did he screen the baggage? No. He's the guy that is ultimately responsible. That's how life is played out. When you're the top, you don't pass the buck. I think it is unbecoming as a man for Coach Barnett to say he ought to be holding on to his job. If he was any kind of a real man, which he's not, but if he was any kind of a real man, he'd step up to the plate and say, if this kind of behavior was taking place on my team, I am taking responsibility. Yes, they should criminally prosecute the players, but I'm going to step up to the plate and I'm going to take responsibility for the reprehensible behavior of these young men on a college campus. But because this guy Barnett and most, if not all, college coaches lack manhood, he's not going to do that. He's going to pass the buck like they all do.
He's the head of the coach. Huh? I can agree that he should maybe resign. But
what are we talking about?
Responsible in any way? I mean, he's got over 100 people.
Why should he resign then if he's not responsible?
Well, I mean, if I don't feel he's responsible because he can't keep his eye on 24/7.
All right, thanks for calling, sir. I think we've had that point made about 900 freaking times ad nauseum. He can't keep his eyes on the players 24/7. No, he can't. However, he ultimately sets an example to the team, tells them what he expects in terms of behavior. If there is a problem disciplinary, then he should deal with it immediately by dismissing that player or otherwise making it known to the athletic director, and then sit down with the players and once again read the riot act. But this crap was going on over and over and over again, and the man didn't do anything. Or if he did, it was ineffective, and apparently, according to the father of this woman, when he talked to him about it, the guy couldn't be more bored. And now his latest comments, which he says were taken out of context, this is not a man, this is a gutless wonder heading up a football program. Like all of these guys, like all of them. Gutless wonders who got career on their mind, baby. They don't care what happens to their players. This guy thinks he's on a fast track to the pros. I got news for you, Barnett. You're on a fast track someplace, baby. It ain't to the pros. You might be on the fast track to cleaning out a John someplace. They might put you on a fast track to the roundhouse, man. They're parking you in the roundhouse, brother. Next time we see you, you're going to be operating a cable car. And you won't be the guy driving it. You'll be ringing the bell. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dr. Jim Sadler joined our show last night with a completely unacceptable point of view that decriminalizing wife beating is in order since they've decriminalized the use of marijuana. After all, everybody's doing it. And he engaged a caller on the subject who was not too happy.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know, Dr. Sadler, I have heard a lot of things in my...
Dr. Sadler, not Dern Seidner, which is what you just said.
Whatever your name is.
Dr. Sadler, Jesus Christ. Are you drunk?
No, listen, you know what? You are so impertinent, rude, disrespectful to women in general.
I don't see how
I would like you to listen to me and shut up for a minute, okay?
I'd love to listen to you, but please don't characterize my comments. I'm trying to
I don't
to
have, I'm not the only one. I've never called a talk show in my life. But I've got to tell you that if you have a license, you should lose it. And there's no way they should legalize anything that you're even talking about. And ice cream. I mean, you don't call or disrespect women and call them stupid. And I can tell you what, I have a hell of a lot more brain in me than you have in you. You couldn't even do the work I do. You are
a complete idiot.
I agree with every woman that's called you. You do not know what you're talking about.
Do you hear what the women are saying?
Should not be used, period.
Tracy,
ever.
If my
and
wife...
disrespecting women.
I'm not.
Where do you get off disrespecting anybody and calling them what you called on this show tonight? You have no right in being on this show, and you know
I'll
what? I feel
what,
sorry for you.
If my wife came home as drunk as you are now,
I don't want to go to you.
I'd be forced to slap her.
What?
I said if my wife.
You'd be forced to slap her. You want to slap every woman that called your show tonight
because
you don't like to hear the truth.
No, but if my wife came home as drunk as you are now, I would.
Oh, for crying out loud, I'm not drunk.
Well, then you have some brain malady, because you started
brain malady. Well, you know what? You're talking to a professional RN who takes care of children with cancer every single day of her life.
Maybe you want to tell the boss.
Who works her ass off. And I got to tell you something. You're an idiot.
Ma'am,
you have no right. I wish you didn't dwell on this earth. I've never heard anybody like you whatsoever.
You know, I don't believe you. You know, they always bring up the, oh, I'm a cancer nurse, just to try to get sympathy.
Oh,
maybe you
want to
tell
him.
You know what? You should tell the bartender to ease off the heavy pour. Hey,
you are a jerk.
Tell the bartender.
A plain and simple jerk.
Can I tell you how you sound? Hold your tongue.
You know what? I don't care how. You can tell me whatever you
want.
Look, I
got
to
jump in here.
It doesn't matter to me because you have the size of a pea brain, okay?
All right, I want to say something to you.
Are you a doctor or are you a child, sir?
I'm a doctor.
Then quit making fun of the way the lady talks. What a child.
She talks as if she's holding onto her tongue.
I'm talking on my cell phone. I've never called a talk show in my life, but you angered me so much that I had to make this phone call.
When your boyfriend slaps you for making chicken when he asks for pork chops, don't come crying to me. You know what, Mr. Henry? You and Debbie can go to the eternal Bunsen burner.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know, as I was listening to that flashback, I look up on the screen and they're replaying Saddam's greatest hits, the torture tapes. I'm like, oh God, why did I have to see that? And then I realized The Passion of Christ is coming out, so it's, you know, getting me ready for that. Also, is there a new movie out with Harry Shearer? Is the Mighty Wind coming out? I'm gonna look at those torture tapes. I'm joking about that, Harry. I love that flick, and I love my new Spinal Tap CD with the, or DVD with the commentary included. Now, having said all of that crap, did you guys read this story about this Islam guy in the U.S. Army who was trying to communicate with Al-Qaeda? Did you hear that? The guy's name is Ryan Anderson. He was arrested Thursday before he was going to deploy to Iraq with the Washington National Guard's 81st Armor Brigade. The military investigators accuse Anderson of 3 counts of violating the Uniform Court of Military Justice, including an attempt to aid and provide intelligence to the enemy. He was online contacting websites and trying to provide information to Al-Qaeda. The most serious charge, attempting to aid the enemy, alleges that Anderson passed sketches of the MIA-1 and MIA-2 tanks, as well as a computer disk with his passport photo, his military ID card, and his military weapons card. The charge carries a maximum penalty of death. Now, here's why you won't hear anything more about Ryan Anderson in the news. This is a man named Ryan Anderson, 26, arrested for violating the military code of conduct, espionage, possible treason. He's a member of the National Guard, the state of Washington. Here's why you're never going to really hear that much more about Ryan Anderson. If you do, I'm wrong. The CIA, people think the CIA can change weather, the CIA can make earthquakes, the CIA can do all these magical... Now, let me tell you what they do and what other agencies, like what other intelligence gathering groups like Mossad does. They are masters at gathering information and disseminating misinformation. This is what they do. They don't make earthquakes. They don't seed the clouds and make everybody, you know, radioactive. What they do in the day-to-day, especially when we're at war, which we are, in case anybody wants to notice, we have American service people dying every day, pacifying a place that needed to have that needed to be gutted and restructured. What they do is they collect information and disseminate misinformation or disinformation. Ryan Anderson could very well be, and maybe I shouldn't be saying this, but you know what? I'm going to say it anyway. I'm a patriot first, but even more firster, I'm a talk show host. Ryan Anderson is a CIA decoy. Oh, boy, you really are flipping your lid now, Henry. Well, hold on for a minute. I'm not talking about the CIA, you know, having a base on the moon here, okay? I'm not sitting down with Art Man and, you know, we're just counting the stars in the sky at Pahrump, okay? Ryan Anderson is a CIA decoy who has been very publicly arrested, and the details of his crimes very publicly reported. Al-Qaeda is sitting over there in their cave right now, wiping with a palm frond and eating their rat meat burger, and they read this, and they say, aha! There's an American serviceman with a National Guard unit who wants to be compromised. It's possible there are other American service people who want to be compromised. Now, the bait is set. Al-Qaeda, in their way, trying to infiltrate the U.S. military, makes contact with other American soldiers, National Guard, Army, Navy, Marines, or otherwise, and makes contact with an operative who works for the CIA, posing as an American service person who is disaffected, recently converted to Islam, angry, etc. Lee Harvey Oswald was a CIA decoy. Lee Harvey Oswald wound up being sacrificed by the CIA. Now, I'm not going to get into the Kennedy assassination. I know it's over, and I don't give a crap anymore. But just rest assured, that's who he was working for. The CIA then makes contact with Al-Qaeda, and guess what, sports fans? Now they have a connection between the CIA operative and the Al-Qaeda lower ring of their organization. And that begins the process of a slow but sure infiltration of Al-Qaeda by United States military. A very tasty target for Al-Qaeda. Wouldn't you think, if you're Al-Qaeda, you'd love to turn some guy in the U.S. military? That'd be a beautiful thing. Access to weapons, access to intelligence, the possibility of turning other members of the military, it could turn into a, as far as they're concerned, it's a, like a Quran, it's an Islam wet dream, baby. It's better than them seven virgins. What they don't know is they've been hooked by a CIA operative and others to follow, who then begin to wend their way ever so surely and ever so slowly through the lower echelons of the Al-Qaeda network until finally, you following me? You got it. Then comes the day, they're in the cave with bin Laden, hand grenade comes out, it's shoved up bin Laden's rear end, pin is pulled, bin Laden burger. See? Now, should I have said that? Well, nobody else was talking about it. Probably nobody else was even thinking about it, except the CIA, so I thought I'd just say it. Now, I don't even think my little fat mouth, you know, is going to do much damage. I don't think they're picking me up over there in Pakistan, man. We're not on Z-100 Yalamabad, okay? I'm not over there on the Talk Monster X-93 Yalamabad with your friendly, congenial host, Raf.
All right, let's get some calls tonight, huh? What's going on? How you doing?
But that is a very likely possibility of how our intelligence network works. And you know what? I'm not an aficionado. I'm not a buff. And I don't pretend to know what those guys are up to. But I will say this. The American people, when it comes to how the CIA, how intelligence works and how this kind of operation works, the American people are really dumb. And when we start theorizing about how, you know, the CIA does this, that, or something else, and they're out of control, and they need more oversight, and this and that, we ought to just shut up. Sure, they had an American president killed, but heck, he was a Democrat. I'm joking around. Jesus, I got the big look from Mother Ngaro in there. 1-800-449-8686. So what do you think about this CIA concept? And we turn you over now to Raf on Radio Jackass in Islamabad, Yo Mama, Pakistan. Raf?
Thanks a lot, Phil. And everybody here, Jesus, that's beautiful. It's great.
Well, I just thought I'd... Oh, we've lost our connection. Listen, our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. phs@philhenryshow.com. When you send something to that address, it could get read on our show in our mailbag. That's phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You know, I got to tell you something. This is really funny. You know, the CIA and the FBI were not always that sophisticated when it came to undercover work and gathering information. You got to hear this. It's going to kill you. I read this in a biography of Elijah Muhammad, who was the founder of, or one of the founding members of the Nation of Islam. In the 1940s, the FBI tried infiltrating meetings of the Nation of Islam. Now, you're not going to believe this, but the FBI didn't have black agents. When they really desperately needed to have some kind of a black officer work on their behalf, they generally recruited from the New York City police, because in the 40s, the New York City police had black patrolmen, etc. But they really didn't have anybody. So how do you infiltrate Nation of Islam if you're an FBI agent? Well, you do what any right-thinking person would do. You go down to the store and you buy yourself some makeup. Are you ready for this? Happened. So now the FBI, in all of their brain surgery, these guys actually take dark, I guess, black person makeup and start smearing it on. And then these cats go down to a meeting. And the people at the door go, you know, what is this, Halloween or something? What do you clowns want? And these two FBI, this is it, the FBI agent says, well, we're here because we want to learn about the teachings. And they're like, you know what? Get out of here with your freaking pancake makeup. They got blown right off at the door. The guys put on makeup? This is how stupid white people were in the 40s, and we ain't got much brighter since then. We're putting on blackface with the white handkerchiefs and the big white gloves with the Mickey Mouse look, and we're playing banjos, and we think people are conned into thinking we're black. And these dumbbells at the FBI, right? So finally, I guess, you know, necessity being the mother of invention, they said, hey, I got an idea. What? Why don't we hire some real black agents? You're kidding. That's fantastic, Ed. No wonder you're the director of the agency. And excuse me for calling you Ed. I should have said Edgar. That's okay. So, Edgar, what are we doing next?
Well, listen, I'm having cocktails.
Oh, will you stop mincing around here? You're the head of the FBI.
I know, but it's just the two of us. Go ahead, just put it on. I want to see how you look. All right, fine. I think the strap's a little high, and I want to have you in the heel.
I'm not coming to your party tonight, so you can kiss it off. You and Clyde both. And yeah, you look...
Go ahead, say it. Please, how did I look?
You looked fine in a bustier.
All right, go out and get the communists and all of those Negroes at the Nation of Islam. Go.
I'm not black. I'm going to do it. Put on some pancake makeup. What is it with you gay cats, man? Everything can be solved with a manicure and makeup. Bug off! Get out of here! All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jason. Hello, Jason.
Hello. Hi, Phil.
Hi.
I'd like to say that I'm a great fan of your show. I've been listening to it for about 3 years.
Very, very kind. Thanks.
One thing I'm a little concerned about was a couple of minutes ago before the break, you made some comments about Islam, which, I'm an American Muslim myself. I was born and raised into it. I'm of Persian descent. And, you said some things about, you know, better than seven virgins and, you know, certain things that I think were a little bit... I know it was all in fun, but, like, in a way that it would seem a little...
What did I say? What did I say? What was the thing that you took offense at? The seven virgin thing?
Yeah, you said something...
Well, that's what they told the hijackers, that they'd... You know, those fundamentalist Muslim guys that hiked on 9/11, they told them that if you sacrifice yourself that way, you'd meet seven virgins in heaven. It's
well,
in
yeah,
the Al-Qaeda recruiting material.
Well, in Al-Qaeda, I don't know anything about Al-Qaeda, but in Islam is a peaceful religion. There's no murdering of anyone, only in combat, which is strictly for war, sanctioned war, same as any other religion.
Okay. Well, you're like Jason. I appreciate very much your call. And I'd
right.
love to believe that what you're telling me is true. I don't know. Christians tell me that it's a peaceful religion, too, but they're violent people as well. So I think what we have here in Islam is a religion that hasn't been explained very well by its practitioners, and yet we are asked to respect it. My request would be this. Before people start telling us don't disrespect our religion, they need to let us know a little bit about it. And they need to tell us what it's about. Otherwise, the largest billboard that has been placed... You know how billboards, you put a big billboard up to tell people about your business?
Right.
The biggest billboard that has been stuck in the ground so far for Islam has been the 9/11 attacks.
Well, that was a terrible thing that
yeah,
happened.
Yeah, well, you know what? But nobody who means well, none of the well-meaning so-called peaceful Muslims you're talking about have taken out an ad that big. As a matter of fact, the only time I ever hear from a Muslim is to protest the fact that I'm speaking negatively, but they never ever want to get up into the face of these fundamentalists and say, you dirty, rotten pieces of crap, why don't you cats go back into the hole in the ground you came from? You are disgracing everything that we believe in. Why don't they go to war with each other? That'd be fantastic. The good Muslims and the bad Muslims. And I'll get a 50-yard line seat for that one. How come America's got to go over and fight these guys? Why don't the Muslims of America, who believe in warfare, as this young man just told me, why don't you cats go over there and fight them? You know what? There are a lot of American Muslim soldiers over in Iraq right now. I think there ought to be a hell of a lot more. I think every Muslim of military age, young man, ought to join the United States Army, Marines, or whatever, and get over there and start kicking ass on people that have taken your religion and wiped their rear end with it. Now, that's just a suggestion, or you can get a backstage pass to my website, $6.95. Just go to www.philhendryshow.com. And don't forget Ash Wednesday's gift in our souvenir shop, the Ted's of Beverly Hills Barbecue set. Thank you.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-868.